भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकीनन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय श्रीगोविन्दाय नमो नमः.
रीडिङ्ग् फ्रोम् श्रीमद्भागवतम् Canto 11, Chapter 3, Chapter entitled Liberation from the Illusory Energy. We will be reading from text 9 through 12. So, text 9.
Shatavarsha hi anavrishtir bhavishyati उल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकांस त्रीण प्रतपिष्यति शतवर्षाह्यनावृष्टेर् भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति शतवर्षा ह्यनावृष्टे भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति. शतवर्षा ह्यनावृष्टे भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति शतवर्षा ह्यनावृष्टे भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति शतवर्षा ह्यनावृष्टे भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपचितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति. माताजि शतवर्षा ह्यनावृष्टे भविष्यत्युल्बणा भुवि तत्कालोपतितोष्णार्को लोकां स्त्रीन् प्रतपिष्यति.
वर्ड् फार् वर्ड् ट्रान्स्लेशन्. शतवर्षा लास्टिङ्ग् 100 इयर्स् हि इण्डीड् अनावृष्टिः ड्रौट् भविष्यति देर विल बी उल्बणा टेरिबल bhuvi, on the earth. Tatkala, in that duration of time. Upachita, accumulated. Ushna, whose heat. Arkaha, the sun. Lokan, the worlds. Treen, three. Pratapishyati, will greatly burn. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. As cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on earth for 100 years. For 100 years, the heat of the sun gradually increases, and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. There is no purport to these verses, so we will go on reading till text 12, the verse and the translation. Patalatalam arabhya sankarshana mukhanalah dahan urdhvashiko vishvag vardhate vayune ritah. Beginning from Patala Loka, a fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarshan. Its flames shooting upwards, driven by great winds, it scorches everything in all directions. Samvartako meghagano varsati smashatam samah dharabhir hasti hastabhir liyate salile virat. Hordes of clouds called samvartaka pour torrents of rain for 100 years, flooding down in raindrops as long as the trunk of an elephant. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. Text 12. Tato virajam utsrijya vairaja purusho nripa avyaktam vishate sukshmam nirindhana ivanalaha. Translation. Then, Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body, O king, and enters into the subtle unmanifest nature like a fire that has run out of fuel. Purport. It is a slightly long purport and has not been split, so please bear with me. According to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the word Vairajaha in this verse indicates the totality of the individual conditioned souls who originally take birth from Brahma and are amalgamated back into Him at the time of annihilation. By the manifestation of the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Lord, there is a temporary display of forms, qualities and activities within the material creation. But the entire cosmic scene reverts to inert formlessness when the creation is withdrawn by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Lord's universal form cannot be accepted as an eternal form of the Lord. It is merely the temporary imaginary resemblance of His personal form within the kingdom of Maya. In the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, as well as in the second canto, the universal form of the Lord is clearly explained to be an imaginary form offered to the neophyte for meditation on God. Those who are excessively materialistic are totally unable to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually Sat-Chit Ananda Vigraha, or the eternal form of bliss and knowledge transcendental to the exhibition of material energy. Therefore, to encourage such gross materialists to become faithful theists, the Vedic literature instructs them to meditate upon the physical universe as the gigantic body of the Supreme Lord. This pantheistic conception does not reflect the ultimate reality of the Supreme Lord, but is a technique to bring the mind gradually toward God. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted the following verse as evidence that Lord Brahma is supposed to go back to Godhead at the time of annihilation. Brahmana sahate sarve samprapte pratisanchare parasyante kritatmana pravishanti parampadam. At the time of final annihilation, all self-realized souls enter with Brahma into the supreme abode. Since Brahma is sometimes considered the best devotee of the Supreme Lord, he surely should obtain liberation rather than merely entering into the unmanifest state of material nature called avyakta. In this connection, Srila Sridhar Swami points out that there is a class of non-devotees who attain the planet of Brahma by performing Ashwamedha Yajnas and other sacrifices. And in certain cases, Brahma himself may not be a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the words avyaktam viśate sukshmam can be understood to indicate that such a non-devotee Brahma cannot enter the spiritual sky, despite having achieved the ultimate universal status of material expertise. But when Brahma is the devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the word avyaktam can be taken to indicate the spiritual sky, since the spiritual sky is not manifest to the conditioned souls. It may also be considered avyakta. If even Lord Brahma cannot enter the kingdom of God without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to speak of other so-called pious or expert non-devotees? In this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out that there are three categories within the status of Brahma, namely those of Karmi, Jnani and Devotee. A Brahma who is the most exalted Karmi of the universe will have to come back to the material world. A living entity who has achieved the post of Brahma by being the greatest speculative philosopher within the universe may attain impersonal liberation, and a living entity who has been awarded the post of Brahma due to being a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters into the personal abode of the Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 32, Text 15, yet another case is described. A Brahma who is a devotee of the Lord but who has the tendency to think himself independent of or equal to the Lord may achieve Mahavishnu's abode at the time of annihilation. But when creation begins again, he has to return and again take the post of Brahma. The word used in this case is Bheda Drishtya, which refers to the tendency to think oneself independently powerful. The various destinations possible for such an exalted living entity as Lord Brahma definitely prove that any material position is worthless for guaranteeing an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna promises that if one gives up all other so-called obligations and surrenders to the devotional service of the Lord will personally protect him and bring him back to the supreme abode in the spiritual sky. It is futile and foolish to try to achieve perfection by one's own strenuous endeavor and not surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Such a blind attempt is described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Bahulayasam, indicating that it is work in the material mode of passion. Brahma is the Lord of passion, and his creation and management of the entire universe are certainly Bahulayasam, or strenuous endeavor, in the most exalted sense. But all such passionate work, even that of Lord Brahma, is ultimately useless without surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam rupah kadamayam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam
साद्वैतम् सावधूतम् परिजन सहितम् कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम् श्री राधा कृष्ण पादान् सगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी निति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे So, in this chapter, we are continuing the discussion of Maharaj Nimi with the nine Yogendras. And in this instance, the section that we are reading, Sri Antariksha, one of the nine Yogendras, is answering questions about the illusory energy or Maya, which is put forward by Maharaj Nimi. And the response given by Sri Antariksha is from text 3 to text 16. So, just a brief overview. The first two verses of his response, text 3 and 4, they describe creation and its reasons. Then text 5 through 7, talk about the living entity going through the various things and the various experiences of this world. And text 7 sums up the experiences of the living entity in this universe and sets up the stage or brings us to the next in line after creation, maintenance going through, and then annihilation. So, here it says in the text 12 that if we see from text 9 onwards, actually I'll just go a little back into text 8. Of course, His Grace Nitai Prasad Prabhu gave a very wonderful class yesterday. But just to build it up, because the annihilation section begins from text 8. So, the precursor to annihilation, as Sri Antariksha puts it, is that when annihilation is imminent, just about to happen, so then the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His form as eternal time. So in His form as eternal time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead withdraws the manifest cosmos consisting of the gross and subtle features. And the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. So, in the beginning, when Antariksha is describing about the experiences of the living entity in this material world, he says that in this material world, the living entity is getting bahu abhadra, lots of inauspiciousness. There's lots of inauspiciousness. So he is basically suffering right from the moment of his own creation in this creation till the time of annihilation. And so therefore from Sarga to Pralaya, so now his discussion is entering into the Pralaya section from 8 to 15. So when the annihilation is imminent. The Lord, who is in this material form, in the manifest form, as time. So within this material world, the Lord is all pervading. Within the body of every person, the Lord is present, is all pervading as the super soul, and without is all pervading in the form of time. So the Lord is eternally situated as super soul internally, and externally situated as a time factor. And this Supreme Lord, who is all pervading, he withdraws the manifest cosmos. So in the material world, there are three modes. Like if we see the spiritual world, it's Vishuddha Sattva. It's only Sattva. There is no contamination of any other mode in the spiritual world. It's Vishuddha Sattva. Whereas in material world, we see there is three different modes. Why? Because in order for creation to take place, you require passion. Without passion, creation can't take place. And without ignorance, we cannot have destruction. So therefore, and of course, maintenance, the mode of goodness has to be there in order to maintain it. So therefore, in material world, we see the existence of three different modes, whereas spiritual world is exclusively sattva. So therefore, in spiritual world, there is no creation or destruction. Everything is originally and eternally existing. So therefore, when Vishnu, and in the spiritual world, where Vishnu is the, or Krishna is the supreme authority, therefore, there the mode of goodness is exclusively prevailing. Whereas, in this material world, when Lord Vishnu takes charge of anything, he takes charge of maintenance. Whereas Brahma and Shiva, they respectively take charge of creation and destruction. So from text 9 onwards, there is a very cinematic description of how this annihilation takes place. Very clear cut, graphic, no corners cut. So after the super soul, he has withdrawn in the form of time, eternal time, he has withdrawn from the manifest cosmos, the entire universe vanishes into non-manifestation. So how does this annihilation actually take place? Text 9 begins with, as cosmic annihilation approaches, a terrible drought takes place on earth for 100 years. So we have experience of drought, even in today's day and age, there is experience of drought, but not for 100 years. Maybe 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. But we can see the effects of such a phenomenon, that even for 2, 3, 4 years, if there is a drought, there is instances where people cannot sustain their lives. They find it so untenable that they prefer to give up their life rather than trying to somehow hold on to it. Of course, there are many other factors involved in that. But we can understand from that if there is a continuous drought for 100 years, what would be the situation on this planet? And not only that, while there is drought, the heat of the sun gradually increases for 100 years. Maybe something like what we experience now called global warming. Slowly, slowly. They are measuring every 20, 50 years or every 100 years, they say temperature of the earth rises by half a degree centigrade. So maybe when we are talking about this time when cosmic annihilation approaches, the heat of the sun gradually increases and its blazing heat begins to torment the three worlds. So already certain places on the earth, even today, we have discussion about ozone, hole in the ozone layer, and the global warming take place, the harmful ultraviolet rays coming in. places like Australia, where there is a lot of incidence of skin related cancers because of exposure to ultraviolet rays. So this is all like, you know, brief trailer or a sneak preview of what we can expect as the cosmic annihilation approaches. Then, beginning from Patal Loka, fire grows, emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarsan, and the flames shoot upwards, driven by great winds, and these flames scorch everything in all directions. So, this is again, you know, the heat is on, the heat goes on increasing. First, there is no water, there is no water at all for 100 years, there is a super drought, and then the sun's heat goes on increasing from top, the heat is going on increasing for 100 years, and then from the subterranean planets, from Patal Loka also, there is flames shooting out. So, you know, you are like, from both sides you are being properly heated, from the top through the sun rays, from the bottom because of the fire emanating from the mouth of Lord Sankarsan. And then, after all this heating for 100 years, what happens? Hordes of clouds called Samvartaka. Now, where have we heard this word Samvartaka previously? Yes, the Govardhan pastime. So these Samvartaka clouds, which Lord Indra summoned to try and drown the village of Vrindavan, the entire Vraja area, because the inhabitants of Vraja did not worship him, rather they decided to worship Govardhan upon instructions from Krishna. So he sent these clouds called Samvartaka. So there we read that they are the clouds for cosmic annihilation. So here we read there again, there is a mention that the hordes of clouds called Samvartaka pour torrents of rain for 100 years. Again, torrents of rain for 100 years. So this is like, you know, anavrishti and then ativrishti. So this is like a classic case of this material world. There will be either too much rain, or there will be too little rain. Like, whenever I think about this ativrishti, anavrishti, I have to mention this. Very classic case for ativrishti, anavrishti, in India itself, we find experience. There is this place called, you know, in South India, this place called Chennai. Just few months back, I think just sometime the end of last year, around December, heavy rains. The entire city was flooded for 4 days. Absolutely flooded, cut off. Heavy rains. And now, the situation is such that the water has to be piped in from different places in Tamil Nadu, which are as far away as 200-300 kilometers away from Chennai. For the inhabitants of Chennai to drink, water has to come from some other place. So in spite of water falling in torrents on that city, still the inhabitants, they are not able to drink their own water from their own well or tap. It has to be piped in from somewhere else. So this is a classic case, material world. Either it will be ativrishti or anavrishti. And these Samvartaka clouds, the water is falling not like, you know, we see, of course in Mumbai also we see sometimes, when it is really falling, within 10 minutes of heavy downpour, the road in front of our temple is flooded. You know, you have knee-deep water on that road, and its train stop running, and there is some, you know, fire somewhere yesterday, something on the Western Railway we heard, there is train stopped running because of heavy rain. Now, these drops are like, you know, not like huge drops, but still, it caused so much havoc. And here, Samvartaka, flooding down in raindrops, as long as the trunk of an elephant. The deadly rainfall submerges the entire universe in water. So, then, Vairaja Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body. So, now we come to the main discussion today. the Vairaj Brahma, the soul of the universal form, gives up his universal body and enters into the subtle unmanifest nature like a fire that has run out of fuel. So in this purport, we read that how there is this form of the Lord as the Virat Purusha, or the even in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, in the Vibhuti Yoga section, he is talking about how we can, in so many conversation and letters and so many places, Prabhupada has time and again mentioned this, that how easy it is for us to understand that Krishna is there in every part, every atom of this world. It is as simple as drinking water. And Prabhupada would take glass of water. And when we are drinking this water, we think that rasoham apsukaunte, yeah. Krishna is the taste of this water. So in the Vibhuti Yoga section, Krishna talks about how he is like, you know, so many things in this material world. And at the end, yadyad vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjitam evava, whatever splendorous objects that we see in this material world, Krishna says, understand that is just a spark of what is my splendor. It's just a spark. So this, in the initial part of the purport, there is discussion that this the Lord's universal form, about the Lord's universal form, and how this universal form is actually just a temporary resemblance of his personal form within this kingdom of Maya. But the purpose of that form is, those who are excessively materialistic are totally unable to understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually Sat Chit Ananda Vigraha. And for such people, therefore, to encourage such gross materialists to become faithful theists, the Vedic literature instructs them to meditate upon the physical universe as the gigantic body of the Supreme Lord. So I was just wondering, just in the pages of Bhagavatam, you know, actually, this entire manifestation, the universe, if we consider, so here it is said in the translation, in the verse it says, that then the Vairaja Brahma, who is the soul of the universal form, and this, like just like in our body, in this body, physical body, we exist in the form of an infinitesimal spirit soul. And along with the spirit soul, where in whichever body the spirit soul enters, the Supreme Lord also travels along with the spirit soul as the super soul. There is that classic Upanishadic statement about two birds sitting on a tree. One of the birds is representing the super soul and the other bird representing the spirit soul, trying to enjoy the fruits of this material world through the agency of the material body. And the super soul is going along with the spirit soul, wherever the spirit soul, in whichever species it enters. And the super soul is just waiting for this spirit soul, the living entity, to turn towards him. And then it will encourage us, the Supreme Lord will encourage that living entity in his endeavor to know more about the Supreme Personality. So therefore, if you consider this entire creation as this entire universal creation as a body of this Brahma, who is like the spirit soul, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like the super soul. So then what happens is, it's like universal, what is that? It is like an organic unity. So the entire universe is a living being. The Brahma is the soul. of the universal form, and there is super soul. So there are great mystic personalities who, when they understand this particular that, you know, we can also understand in a limited way on our own bodily platform, that in the whole universal creation, like it discusses here, the word Vairaja in the verse indicates the totality of the individual conditioned souls who originally take birth from Brahma and are amalgamated back into him at the time of annihilation. So Brahma is the creator here, and he creates all these living entities and the variations, and by the manifestation of the entire cosmic scene reverts to inert formlessness. So basically Brahma, who is the soul, the living force, he creates further and further progeny and populates this universe. So if we consider that, so it is like something like our own body, and within our body each and every cell, if we consider, is a complete unit in itself with its own nucleus. Those who have studied biology and cell, say on a cellular level, even high school biology, each cell has a nucleus and a mitochondria and cell wall and so many things. And each cell in itself is a living entity. If you take it out and put it, give it a suitable culture in which it can survive, then it will survive. But then, if you take away the suitable culture, then it will just die away. So similarly, but then all these cells are there because this whole body is there. So sort of they are like born out of this body. But then it is, they are within the body. So similarly Brahma, who is, the Vairaja in this verse, is the totality of all the individual conditioned souls who take birth from Brahma. But at the same time, this whole universal form is like one body. So those who understand this non-difference in nature of the whole universal form along with the individual form, but at the same time there is a difference, like Prabhupada used to say, we are similar in quality but not in quantity. So if those who understand, like Prabhupada has this example about yogis, sometimes mystic yogis, they would enter into the water in one place, in Ganges river, and when they come out of the river, they would be in some other place. Like they would enter into Gangotri, in the water in Gangotri, and they would come out at Prayag. Something like that. It's not that they would actually physically swim through the water, but they had that sort of a siddhi because they could understand it's water element there, water element there. So similarly, we have this understanding because further Prabhupada talks about some very interesting, very nice topic about how even if Lord Brahma, is a non-devotee, then he cannot enter the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, I was just thinking this concept, if we take it little further from the pages of Bhagavatam, we see the in the pastime of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu was a person who performed so much austerity, intense austerity. And he, in fact, his body was reduced with the heat which was produced because of his austerities. His body was just reduced to a heap of ashes. There was nothing remaining. And bones. Nothing remaining in terms of actual physical body. But in spite of that, that soul was still there within that heap of ashes and the bones. And therefore Brahma could revive it. But the point that I was trying to make is that when he experienced or from within his body that entire heat emanated, because there is this connection between the individual and this the micro and the macro, therefore the people or the personalities even in the higher planetary systems, they could experience that heat. and they went to Brahma and say, please give him whatever he wants, because we are getting affected by the heat which is coming out of his austerities. So give him whatever you want. So this is a case where somebody who is inimical to the Lord, but still, because there is this connection between the micro, on the micro level and the macro level of the universal creation, you could see how the micro could affect the macro. But ultimately, he was denied. Ultimately he was denied, or he was, because he was inimical to the Lord. And on the other hand, here very nice statement, that to encourage people who are excessively materialistic. So they want some material gain. So this is, one case is Hiranyakashipu. Another case we see, where the person is wanting some material gain, but he is not inimical to the Lord. And that is Dhruva Maharaj. He is not inimical to the Lord. He just wants it. And when his mother guides him to go and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is further guided in his quest by Narad Muni. So again we see, when Dhruva Maharaj, he stops even his life air. I mean, initially he slowly stops intake of food, water and all that. And then at one point of time, he even stops taking in air. So he's stopping his life air, or he's stopping his breathing on a micro level, is affecting the entire macro universe. Everybody is getting affected. Everybody starts coming and saying, please give him. I mean, what is happening? We are choking because he is not breathing. But because he is a devotee of the Lord, and because he is not inimical to the Lord, he is favorably blessed by the Lord. And by such favorable blessing, because of being blessed by the Lord, the best thing that happens is all his material desires are taken away. So whenever I think of this verse, from first time when I heard this in a class, akamo sarva kamova, then I said, how can it be pure devotional service? But then if we approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any desires, or with all kinds of desires, but if the approach is correct to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord will take away our desire for material things, whatever material things. So therefore, we can see that when Prabhupada says here that words avyaktam vishate sukshmam can be understood to indicate that a non-devotee Brahma cannot enter the spiritual sky. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says in his bhajan, kita janma hua yatha tua das, bahirmukha Brahma janme nahi moras. I prefer to be a worm, kita janma hua, but a worm who is your das, jatha hua tua das. But I don't want to be a Brahma who is bahirmukha, or who is inimical to you. I don't want that. I prefer being even a worm. I don't want to be a Brahma if I have to be inimical to you. So therefore, in this we see that it is so important, as Prabhupada again and again brings out that point in this particular purport, the devotees of the of Srila Prabhupada, that the spiritual sky is not manifest to the conditioned souls. But if Lord Brahma cannot enter the kingdom of God without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then what to speak of other so-called pious or expert non-devotees? They may be expert in so many things, but if that expertise, that expertise does not translate into surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is just nothing but, as he further says, that it is just a strenuous endeavor. So If one tries to do it on their own, try to achieve perfection, that is just Bahula Yasa. Prabhupada ends the disciples of Prabhupada, they end this purport by saying this. So that this particular, if it is futile and foolish to try to achieve perfection by one's own strenuous endeavor. So again we see that in this, between Hiranyakashipu and Dhruva Maharaj. Even though they were endeavoring for some material things, but Dhruva Maharaj, he was guided first by his mother and then by Narad Muni. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, he thought he can do it on his own strength, on his own power. So such a blind attempt is described in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita as Bahula Yasam, indicating that it is work in the material mode of passion. And he says that all such passionate work, even if it is done by Lord Brahma, is ultimately useless without surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. So therefore, we can understand from this particular discussion today that ultimately it may be so many, you know, fancy words, so much knowledge about so many aspects of the creation, maintenance, destruction. But ultimately, if that doesn't give rise to the surrender within the heart of the person, then it is all just like in first canto, what is that? Notpadayet yadi ratim sramaye vahi kevalam. If it doesn't create an attachment to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it is just so much futile endeavor. So we should try to somehow develop this mood of developing surrender to hear about the Lord, to glorify the Lord. Because even in this series of discussion, even though it seems like very technical description and very technical discussion going on here, even if it seems like that, we should understand that actually in the previous chapter, if we see, everything was done, but then Maharaj Nimi, he again restarts the whole thing. No, I want to know more. Please tell me more. I want to hear more about the different aspects. So in the previous chapter, it was almost completely over. Somewhere in the 48th verse, chapter 2, it says that Vishnur Maya Midam Pashyan Savai Bhagavata. Even when engaging his senses, so there is discussion about the different kinds, different levels, grades of devotee, Uttam Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari and all that. And then, after all that is done, then again, Maharaj Nimi, he again begins, I want to know more. So now please tell me about the illusory energy. Because you say that the devotee can be somehow, sometime be covered by the illusory energy. So please tell me, what is this illusory energy? And try and protect ourselves from the... So he is so eager to hear. So even though the discussion is a very technical subject matter, but the mood of that discussion, why this technical subject matter is being discussed, if we try to understand that, because the mood is, Maharaj Nimi is so surrendered to the lotus feet of the Lord, that surrender is indicated by his eagerness to hear, by his eagerness to sit down and discuss more and more. Like, what is that? Mitarati, how that is? Parasparanukathanam pavanam bhagavat yashah. Mitarati, mitatushti. So, the more and more we discuss, it increases the satisfaction, the level, the happiness, the joy that is produced within the heart. But all that will happen only with that kind of a, surrender. And that surrender is what is being hinted here. In spite of all the other technical matters which is being discussed, but the bottom line, as the, in the purport, the disciples of Prabhupada are bringing out time and again, it is how, unless we are surrendered, all these other technical matters, knowledge of all those technical matters, it will not matter in the final analysis. So, I would like to stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anybody has any comments, they are most welcome. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय।